It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front my Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. O Savior, if Thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely some a lowly place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto Thy care, I know Thou lovest me. I'll do Thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
All right, I hope.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, and a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels from our crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
All right, you can be seated. Some sort of a bug that everybody has. But the Lord's been merciful, and thank the Lord for medications and stuff. But the guys are doing okay. Carl's sort of okay. I will hope he stays with us here through the meeting. But anyway, we just thank the Lord for protecting us. There were troubles every day from the beginning to the end. It seemed like nothing went smooth. Everything was difficult. But at the end of the week, it was a blessing just to look back and see what the Lord had done. So I'm just going to let the guys come and give a testimony. Then we're going to show some pictures. And if we have any time left, I'll sort of summarize it and wrap it up at the end. Okay? All right. Who wants to go first? Frank, go first. Age before beauty. All right. All right, Frank, come on. Cold enough down here for everybody? Are we okay? If I shut this off, nobody will complain, will they? Because you can't hear over this thing. Yeah. Sorry.
I thought it was a bug. Since 1986, and this was my 11th trip, so it was different than all the other trips that I've ever taken. I usually keep a journal when I do go on these trips, and I always look for a verse that's like a key verse for the trip. This trip, I didn't keep a journal. But I did find a verse. And it came partly because of the day before the trip was Sunday, July 6th, and Pastor was preaching. And he was preaching out of Matthew 9:28, where in one passage it says, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." And I started studying along those lines of what he was preaching because our trip was delayed. Our flight was canceled that Monday morning. We were supposed to leave by, I think, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was canceled. So we had some time on our hands to go back home, and the flight would have been Monday night. So when I went back home, I started doing a little Bible study on the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is able to do different things. And I wound up printing something out, which is this here. And I took it with me. I folded it, put it, this isn't the one I took, but I folded it, I put it in my Bible, and I took it with me. And I, as I was looking for a verse for the trip, it came from Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that was that molded at least my thoughts for the whole trip. The Lord showed himself mighty in every way. I packed light for this trip. If those that know me, this is the list that I brought, exploded up. And all the cross-outs are the things that I didn't bring. So I did pack light. And so light that I was able to stuff another maybe 20 pounds of tracks into my suitcase and have it brought down. And those that know me, I'm pretty organized when it comes to things like that. And I do get rattled when things go wrong. So as the Lord would have it, our luggage never arrived. So I put my trust in the Lord, and the only thing I had was my Bible, that little case that the Bible was in over there, and the clothes on my back. And the Lord was showing me a few things, and I'll try to explain some of the things that he showed me. None of the tracks arrived other than the small bag that we brought with us. I don't know how much it weighed, 40 pounds or 35 pounds, whatever it weighed, those tracks. And we brought four of those, so at least we had those to distribute. I forget exactly the when Pastor had gotten his luggage, but he was the first one to get his luggage back. He's probably the most spiritual of us four. Plus he had a name tag on his thing about this, but no. But he got his first. The next day, Carl and Dan got their luggage, and I think one big, what is it called? Duffel bag of tracks that we brought four of them with us as stowaway luggage, and the one came also that day. Thank God Carl got his because he was able to lend me some clothes, at least after 2 days, I was able, or 3 days, whatever it was, I was able to, you know, change into some clothes. So, the very next day, and also Dan Rolston got his, the very next day, which was Thursday, I finally got mine after much tribulation, and I wound up unpacking, and the next day, that night, I had to pack again to leave. So, but the Lord just showed himself strong. As soon as we got there, we knew we didn't have luggage, we didn't have anything, no toothbrush, no soap, no nothing. And Brother Maurice, as soon as we walked into the house that we stood in, he had a big sign up with our four names, and he put something like, "Welcome, brothers, this place is yours, is your house." And exactly, that's the way he treated us. It was like our own house. We can go into the refrigerator and, you know, during the night and take a snack of goat head soup or anything like that. He's an amazing man, a real man of God, a real sincere person, very astute in what he's doing. Very astute of the things that are going on in this country, and he's someone we should be thankful God brought our way to just see what he's doing and to help support him in any way we can. There was a still small voice that kept talking to me all the while, especially when I didn't have the luggage and whatnot. I was concerned with it, but the Lord gave me peace about that. Something unusual for somebody that's a nut like I am to want to organize everything. And you see, the Lord had to show me that all I needed was his word. the clothes on my back to look decent. And even though I may have been dirty on the outside, he wanted me clean on the inside. And that's exactly what he showed me. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So he also showed me that we bring nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. So the only thing that's going to last forever is his word. And that's all we need. And he took care of everything else. I mean, we were able to eat. Now we're back. We were able to survive. While going through Haiti and the places that were in Lakai, most of the people I didn't understand. I don't speak French or Creole, other than au revoir and merci beaucoup, and that's about it. And the other things, I think I was mixing Spanish and Italian when I was talking to them. And they're shaking their hand, and I'm shaking my head. Most people I didn't understand. Even the guys that we were with, Maurice's men, only a few spoke English, and if that, they only spoke a little. There's only one or two that really you can communicate. It was difficult in the street, just handing out tracts, and they'd be, "Hey, Joe." They call all Americans Joe. "Hey, Joe." And they go like this. They want money for food or money, or they want food or money. And, here I go. "Inglés." I says, "I don't understand." And we used to walk away. Two of the people I did meet in the street spoke pretty good English. And one was a young man. As I was going around, handing out tracts, he saw me and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, here's where I have to now go into this big, conversation with him to explain what I'm doing." And I says, "I'm handing out gospel tracts." He goes, "Well, that's some sacrifice that you're making." And I looked at him. And I says, "It's not a sacrifice, it's my reasonable service." And I told him, "The one that made the sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one that died for me." So he was a Christian. He took the track, and we just walked on. The other person that spoke English that I was able to have a little conversation with was in a park. It was a big park, and we were handing out tracts. And one of the other fellows was with me. I think it was Julio. And as we went into the park, there's this one big, heavyset guy. He was about my age and sitting on a bench with several other people. But he looked like the kingpin. He has his arm around the bench like this. And as I handed him the track, he said something like, "What are you handing me? Or are you going to hand me money?" Or something like that. And I says, "What did you bring? Did you bring me money?" He said. So I says, "No, I brought you the word of God, which is better than money." And he agreed. He says, "Yes." He says, "The word of God is better than money." And a big laugh from him. A lot of times they tested us to see our reaction to whether we wanted to give the money or not. And they seem almost argumentative. And then they would just smile and we'd be on our way. But in reflecting on the trip, after I came home, I wanted to see what did I learn on this trip. And I learned that I have learned that whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's one real lesson that I needed to learn. At home, I was reading the Bible, and I happened to read Ecclesiastes 2. And in verse 10, and it says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiceth in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." And that probably includes hunting, watching the Survivor Man, the Croc Hunter, family outings, looking at wish books, the catalogs that I get, my car, and other things like that, which many times I hold dear. The more I hold dear to them and the less I hold to the Lord, then I'm sinning. But verse 11 says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. If I had to title this trip, it would be Sufficient Grace That Is Simply Amazing. As I was going through this trip, a hymn kept just playing through my mind, or some of the words. I didn't know all of the words then, and it just kept going through it. Before I give you that, I just want to talk about my brothers on the trip. My brother Carl, we wound up sleeping together. And before he gets out in the church, I'm the one to tell you. And I know you were. And we went on a beach where Carl gave me this little stone that looks like a heart. But I really grown to love him as a brother in Christ. Never really knew him that well. Knew him from the church, knew him from baseball and all that. But when you go on these trips, you get to know each other quite well. And I love him. He's just a riot to be around. We had many laughs, especially about the goat head soup. Meh. Oh, any time you see him down and sad, just go over to him and go, meh, and you'll wake him right up. Dan Ralston, I got to stay up all night in the Miami airport because we couldn't get a hotel room, so we had to fly out the next morning, and we stood in the airport, and we spoke all night, Dan Ralston and I. We just had a great time of fellowship together, and I got to know him real well. And my pastor is no words that I could ever explain that would be proper to tell you how he takes care of his sheep that go with him, and how he's always watching out for us and taking care of us. He's as he follows Christ, that's what I want to do. I want to follow him. Brother Maurice is of the same exact mold, and they were like they gelled and fit together, and they're the same type of person. The hymn that kept playing over and over in my mind, going through it, was "Oh to Be Like Thee," and I changed the title. I was "Oh to Be Like Him." I kept saying until I found out it's "Oh to Be Like Thee." "Oh to Be Like Thee, Blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, the perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love, make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep in my heart, on my heart. And that's my prayer, is that the Lord would stamp his image on my heart and all those that love him. Thank you.
You don't kiss and tell. You know, I remember when Sal, those that know Sal Fridella, brought me to this church. I had gotten saved and went to another church, and when he brought me here, there was a different spirit here. Everybody that comes here can attest to that. And what this trip did for me, and my experience was a little bit different than Brother Frank and Pastor. And I don't know if Dan was on any other trips before, but it was a little bit different for me. in some ways I was a little, unsure of what was going on. As you know, we came here, the first flight was canceled. We came back 12 hours later and we had to wait. And during the whole time, the way the Lord did everything, He didn't tie everything in until I came to church Sunday morning. So it's difficult for me to tell the story. But, like, when I can look back, I can see, like, what He was doing the whole time. But we were in the airport in Miami. There was really no place to sleep. And everyone just seemed to go along with it. That's when Frank was with Dan and Pastor was, reading. And they seemed to be something that I didn't realize that they were. And that was this example, I remember Brother Jack said, you got to learn how to follow before you can learn how to lead. And that was part of the blessing for me, was to follow Pastor and Frank and Dan. And obviously, the ultimate person to follow was Jesus Christ. The French I learned there was Merci Jésus-Christ, which means thank you, Jesus Christ. Mike gave me a little French lesson before I left. But like I said, the trip didn't take effect until I actually came here. I mean, I was blessed along the way. In the pictures, you'll see, the things that we went through, everything was different than me. Different for me. I never experienced anything like this. One thing I can say is if anybody has an opportunity to ever do anything for Christ like this, it should be something you should definitely, definitely do. I would hope, and my prayer was that I would never, ever forget where it is that I came from, meaning here, to go there and to see these people. Lord willing, if those videos work, you'll see a group of people singing hymns and with joy in their heart, loving the Lord, just, being a blessing. And, some of them don't have walls, don't have doors. And when you see this, and then you come home and you got your TV. And, like I said, when I first went there, there was no TV. That was out of the question. So, in my heart, I was like, oh, no TV, Should have brought my computer. I could have watched DVDs or something. But, like I said, it was the example the whole way through. And, we would get up in the morning and read, and it was just a blessing. And like I said, some of the pictures will let you see it. But I guess some of the funny things as far as getting close with my sweetheart over there. the first day that we ate dinner there, Pastor told me we were going to have goat head soup. And I thought it was a nickname for a soup. I just thought it was like a nickname. It was going to be some soup with, maybe a little goat meat or something, but I could have took the meat out, I thought it was, I don't know, in my head. We sit at the table and where we position, the pot's right in front of me and, it's the first meal and, Maman was Pastor Maurice's niece and she takes the pot off, the thing off the top, and I look inside and there's a goat's head in the pot. So I look at Pastor and I was like, I thought you were kidding. I didn't know there was going to be a goat's head in the soup. So Pastor was merciful to me, gave me about 7 potatoes. I ate it and I shut up. And I see a different side of Pastor. I see a lot of people that come visit our church. Sometimes they look at Pastor like, ooh, Pastor's, in other words, sometimes we don't understand. He's just a man, he's a regular man just like anybody else, He needs the Lord just the way we do. And the next day he told me, all right, don't worry, we're going to have chicken cordon bleu tonight. So I'm like, and now in my mind, I have the whole chicken, I see it wrapped in the mozzarella, and I'm like, and we get there and it was goat nuggets. And French fries, so I had some French fries and went to bed. But as far as the luggage went, yeah, it was, you know, it was tough. We were going to conspire against Pastor and steal his luggage and not let him get any clothes. But we decided not to do that. And after we finally, his luggage came, and then the next day, I got my luggage and Dan got his. And I remember feeling bad because I was so excited when I got mine, and then when we looked and his wasn't there, I felt bad. But inside, I was like, oh, because we were in the same clothes for 3 days. But Lord willing, I bought brand new socks, brand new underwear, which, did you bring my underwear back? And so, you know, it was, you know, that stuff was a blessing. But like I said, I'm going to cut it short. I really came back. I got, you know, pretty sick. But when I sat here Sunday morning and, like, I thought about where those people were on the side, you know, sitting there, you know, in the heat, in the elements, with, you know, bugs and all the stuff that they were there. And when I was sitting there, I almost just felt like, you know, how could I ever have complained, or how could I ever murmur? I mean, we think about it, right? When he asked to turn the AC off, is anyone going to complain? I mean, if you've seen what those people go through, he shouldn't have to say that. You don't know what it's like to sit in a cushy seat, to sit indoor. I mean, we have a picture of Pastor Maurice in his old church, and the guy's got this big smile on his face, and I'm taking the picture, and as he walked away, I'm sitting to myself, and I'm saying, like, you know, can't believe, like, you know, he was so happy about this was his old church. Meanwhile, it's just a roof with, like, you know, planks on the side. You know, no AC, no microphones, none of the stuff that we have. You know, and we need to really be, I know I want to always be mindful of that. I wish that my son could come. You know, the kids there, when you're in the street, you know, we're handing out tracts and they're coming and you're seeing children, you know, with no shoes on and no clothes, some of them, and just, you know, like Brother Frank said, asking for, you know, money, and mothers pointing at their children and pointing at their stomach, and, you know, and for the guidance of Pastor to let me know. I mean, in my heart, I wanted to go into the grocery store, which there is none there, but just try to do something and feed them, and he let me know, like, you know, that's not what we're here to do, you know, and anything that I wanted to do that was on my heart would be done through Pastor Maurice, so he can, you know, do things at his discretion. But it was different for me. I learned a lot, and I'm really thankful that God allowed me to participate in this. And hopefully the pitchers do a little bit of justice. There's some things that the pitchers can't do, the sounds, the smells, the sorrow. But like I said, when we got there, when I sat in that seat Sunday morning upstairs, that's when the Lord just tied it in a bow and said, now do you see? Like, you know, do you want to, you know, like, what do you want to do for the cause of Christ now? I mean, these people were out there, Maurice's men were out there walking around. Like I said, Lord willing, of one of the videos, Pastor and I stayed behind, and the whole time I was like, man, I should have took the ride in the car. We said, we'll walk back with the men. And Pastor went with, Pastor Maurice took Dan and he drove home. And because the men, they walk everywhere. Walking a couple of miles is like no big deal. I didn't realize how far I was. So I was like, Pastor, come on, we'll stay behind. We'll walk with the men. You know, 2 miles later, I'm like, you know. But, you know, it was just for me to experience the guidance, to experience the leadership, and to experience what the Lord wanted me to see there was a blessing. And like I said, if you guys have any opportunity to do that, pray about it. If the Lord opens the door somewhere, it will be a blessing. You'll never, never, ever forget it. Okay.